And the cows are probably, oh, sure, you're drinking me, eating me, wearing me, sneaking up on me, tipping me over, and I'm the one who's off?
Drugstore.
Seems like it'd be fun to make up these drug ingredient words. Now, with an extra drop of retsin. We all go, well, that's good. Honey, we're getting more retsin. What is retsin? How much are we getting? That's medical science. Some guy in a white coat going, you know, I think it needs more retsin. How much? Give him an extra drop. What the hell? That should be enough. They're lucky they're getting any retsin. I had a cold a couple weeks ago. I go in the drugstore. It's an entire wall of cold medications. You ever catch yourself reading ingredients in a drugstore? Oh, this one has 0.03 tetrahydrozoline. That's a good amount of that. Sometimes you have to contemplate some existential questions. All right, so this product is quick-acting, but this one is long-lasting. So when do I need to feel good, now or later? I don't know. I like how they always show you how the medicine works on TV, where the guy says, here's the human body. It's always this guy, arms wide, palms facing out, head to the side. You know this guy, no face, mouth open. This is how drug companies see the public. He's always got a tube coming down the mouth, and then there's the little circle area in the stomach. These are the complex inner workings of the human body, I assume. I'm sure when you go to medical school, they probably put that up on the board the first day. Okay, everyone, now remember, you've got your tube coming down from the mouth, and that goes into your circle area. That's pretty much all we know. That's it for today. Don't miss tomorrow. We're going to practice making people wait in a little room in their underwear, and then you'll all be doctors. That's all there is to it. Then in the commercial, they have to show you the pain. That's the part where they say, here's where you hurt. Pain is usually represented by some sort of lightning attacking the guy. Glowing redness is popular. Sometimes parts of the guy's body will just burst into flames. Sometimes the whole guy is out of focus. I've never had a doctor say to me, are you having any pain? Yes, I am. Are you having any lightning with the pain? Tiny hammers banging on you. Have you seemed to be in a funhouse mirror at any time? Then they tell you about the pain-relieving ingredient. There always has to be a lot of that. Nobody wants any amount less than extra strength. Extra strength is actually the absolute minimum we will accept at this point. You can't even get strength. Strength is not available. They don't even make strength anymore. Some people are not satisfied with extra. They want maximum. I want maximum strength. I am in a tremendous amount of pain. Give me the maximum allowable human dosage. Figure out what will kill me, and then back it off a little bit.
Doctor's waiting room.
There's that little bit of arrogance in the medical community that I think we could all live without. Like when you go to see the doctor, they don't just let you see the doctor. You must first wait in the waiting room. There's no chance of not waiting. That's the name of the room. Just the fact that doctors have waiting rooms is like saying, all appointments are meaningless. My schedule is bogus. You sit there pretending you're reading your little magazine. You're actually looking at the other people. I wonder what he's got. That guy's a goner. Then they call you. You look around at the other people. Well, I guess I've been chosen. And you get very excited because you think you're going to see the doctor, but you're not. You're just going into the next smaller waiting room. Now you don't even have your magazine. You got your pants around your ankles. You're sitting on that butcher paper they pull out over the table. Sometimes I bring a pickle with me and put it next to me right there on the table in case the doctor wants to wrap the whole thing up for a to-go order. But medically speaking, it's always good to be in a small room. You don't want to be in a large room, like those operating theaters they have with the stadium seating. You don't want them doing anything to you that makes other doctors go, well, I have to see this. Are you kidding? Are they really going to do that? Are there seats? Can we get in? Doctors always want your pants off. Get your pants off and get in there, and then I will tell you what I think. The doctor would like to see you with no pants. Just get them off. It really gives him an advantage. In any difference of opinion, pants always beats no pants. But I hate the extra weight, so I start screwing around with some of his stuff. Maybe I'll turn that thing up a little bit, whatever the hell that does. Take all the tongue depressors out, lick them all, put them all back in. Two can play at this waiting game. Just once I would like to say to the doctor, you know what? I'm not ready for you yet. Why don't you go back in your little office? I'll be in a minute. And get your pants off. Why does a doctor need that little office anyway? I guess he doesn't want people to see him looking stuff up. What the hell was that? Jesus Christ, that was kind of gross. That wasn't the tube or the circle.
May contain.
I like when ingredients say, may contain one or more of the following. May contain. What if it's important? What if you have diabetes? Does it have sugar? Maybe. We're not saying. Why don't you just eat it? Then we'll all know for sure.
Chock full of nuts.
Why does coffee always come from these made-up places like Arabica? Where is that? Near Jamocha Almond Fudge? Coffee always has fake names. Chock full of nuts. How many more years does this go on before somebody says to them, excuse me, what are you talking about? What nuts? The head of the company probably went, you can call it pocket full of balls as far as I'm concerned. It's coffee. No one cares.
Improved Tide.
I was in the supermarket the other day. I see Tide has been improved. Do they sense that people are out there? How was your wash? I don't know. It was all right, I guess. Could have been better. I have no idea how they improved it. They're always showing you how detergents get out bloodstains. Kind of a violent image, isn't it? I think if you have a t-shirt with bloodstains all over it, maybe laundry isn't your biggest problem right now. Maybe get rid of the body before you do the wash. Who are they appealing to? Somehow I don't picture Charles Manson standing over the machine with that little cup of fabric softener.
Chopsticks.
I'll tell you what I like about Chinese people. They're really hanging in there with the chopsticks. Obviously, they've seen the fork, but they're like, yes, very nice, but we're staying with the sticks. I don't know how they missed it. Chinese farmers working in the field with a shovel all day. Shovel, spoon, come on, there it is. You're not plowing 40 acres with a couple of pool cues.
Cannibalism.
One of the most powerful things in the world is hunger. Hunger will make people do amazing things. The proof of that is cannibalism. That's hungry. Cannibalism actually exists. How do they live? They're eating. What do they say? This is good. Who is this? I would think the hardest part of being a cannibal is getting a good night's sleep. Constantly waking up in the middle of the night. Who is it? Who's there? What do you want? You look hungry. Are you hungry? Get the hell out of here right now.
People Owner's Manual.
See, each man and each woman actually does have an owner's manual. Nothing's written down anywhere, but the directions for operation of an individual in a relationship are detailed and specific nonetheless. So when you start out with someone, you're essentially driving a strange car for the first time, but none of the controls are labeled. So the wipers can come on at strange times. Sometimes you stall. We've all met people with bad steering, no brakes, needs a muffler. Headlights a little dim, too much in the trunk, not enough under the hood, prone to backfiring, won't turn over, and just plain out of gas. Which is why when people get ready to get married, they so often seem to choose basic transportation. It's simple, it's reliable, and it gets you there. That's important on a long trip.
Favor.
There's two kinds of favors, big favor, small favor. You can measure the size of the favor by the size of the pause the person takes after they ask, could you do me a favor? No pause, small favor. Could you do me a favor and hand me that pencil? But if it's, could you do me a favor? What I need is... The longer it takes them to say it, the bigger the pain it's going to be. Also, the human is the only species that does favors. Animals don't do favors. A lizard doesn't say to a cockroach, could you do me a favor and hold still for a second? I'd like to eat you alive. That, by the way, be a big favor. That cockroach is really putting himself out.
Men's attention.
Why are women always trying to draw men's attention to every area of your body we're already totally focused on? Short skirts, push-up bras. Do we really need the coaching? I find some of these sexy outfits women wear a little insulting. It's like they feel we need a highlighter. Don't tell me where to look. If we can't handle the leering and the gawking by now... I don't know why we even bother setting up all these construction sites. You know, women walking by construction sites is what built this country. There's no other way to get people to do these jobs. Women complain, but this system is working. If you guys want to stand on the street and be obnoxious all day, you're going to have to at least pretend to be building a building.
Beauty contest.
Men can justify anything to look at women. What about a swimsuit competition? Yes, women in swimsuits competing. That makes perfect sense. The whole concept of a beauty contest itself. Think about that. You're very attractive. I challenge you.
Pocketbooks.
Women have different ways of adjusting men's proximity. The pocketbook is probably their main distance controlling unit. All the equipment in there is designed to keep men within a certain optimal range. If the men are too far away, they're like, too far, more makeup, eye colors, perfumes, bring them in. But if they're too close, it's, oh, too close, mace, rape whistles, keys between the fingers, back up, dude.
Flower power.
Probably the only thing that enables a man to keep a relationship going over a long period of time is the existence of flowers. A man alone cannot survive in a relationship, but a man with some flowers has a chance. If there were no flowers on earth, the world would be men and lesbians. That's it. And that's why flower stores are not set up right for what men need. It should be you walk in, you tell them what you did wrong, they give you the flowers for that, and you just continue right out the back. The, all right, your brother's not an idiot bouquet. The your career's important too basket. Also, any man carrying a big bouquet of flowers is the king of that street. No other man with a woman wants to be seen anywhere near this guy. Or he gets, see, that's what I'm talking about. Because he's carrying flowers. He could have a severed head in the other hand. She doesn't notice that.
Always friends.
There are certain friends in your life who are always your friends. You don't call them, they call you. You don't call back, they call again. You're late, they wait. You don't show up, they're not upset. You try and stab them, they understand.
Thin, single, and neat.
I am not gay. I am, however, thin, single, and neat. Sometimes when someone is thin, single, and neat, people assume they are gay because that is the stereotype. You normally don't think of gay people as fat, sloppy, and married. Although I'm sure some are, I don't want to perpetuate a stereotype, but they're probably in the minority in the gay community and probably discriminated against because of that. People say to them, you know, Joe, I enjoy being gay with you, but I think it's about time you got in shape, tucked in your shirt, and lost the wife.
Baby visit.
My friend just had a baby. A lot of pressure to see this baby. You've got to see the baby. When are you coming over to see the baby? See the baby. See the baby. Nobody ever wants you to come over and see their grandfather. You got to see him. He's so cute. 168 pounds, 4 ounces. I love when they're this age. He's 1,000 months. He went to the bathroom by himself today. Just once, I would like to meet a couple that goes, you know, we're not that happy with the baby. I think we really made a big mistake. We should have gotten an aquarium. These baby visits can get a little boring. You have to yawn. I don't think there's anything wrong with yawning. I hate when people try not to yawn. Teeth clench, their cheeks start vibrating, trying to keep their mouth closed. It's like watching someone get electrocuted.
Night guy, morning guy.
I think the secret to our great American economy is relentless, annoying advertising and our natural dumbness. That just works so well together. I saw a mattress store commercial, no payments till June. Because they know we're going to go, oh, June, well, that's not really my problem then, is it? Besides, it'll probably never be June. And if it ever is, that's June guy's problem. So what if I'm broke in the present? I'm sure June guy will have gotten some money somehow. And wouldn't June guy want me to be enjoying my life now? We do the same thing when we're watching TV late at night. What about work tomorrow? You've got to get up. You've got a big day. Oh, that's morning guy's problem. I'm night guy. I don't worry about that stuff. I party. I rock the house. Fire up the next episode and crack open a new sleeve of Oreos for me and my merry men. I'm night guy. Then morning comes, the alarm goes off, you're totally trashed, crumbs in the bed. Oh, why did I do that? I hate you, night guy. Night guy always screws morning guy. He becomes coffee all day guy, who turns into can't sleep at night guy, and then into doesn't do his work guy, who becomes out of a job guy. You think night guy cares? No. He's sleeping on a brand new mattress, courtesy of no payments till June guy.
The double O's.
For about 2 years after I finished the series, I didn't do anything. I moved my life back to New York. I had breakfast with Colin Quinn every day. I played pool at Amsterdam Billiards at night, very late sometimes. I met and married my wonderful wife, Jessica. But no stand-up, no writing, nothing. felt lost, and wanted to. My friend Chris Messiano, the same guy whose brother told us about comedy clubs in New York 30 years earlier, and I decided it would be a good time to drive from New York to LA in a convertible with the top down the whole way, no matter what the weather. We chose one of the greatest convertibles of all time, the 89 Porsche 911 Speedster, and did the trip. 8 days, bought a meteorite in New Mexico. In L.A., two of my comedy pals, Chris Rock and Mario Joyner, were doing a show at the Universal Amphitheater, and I went to see them. The amphitheater is a big house, about 6,000 seats. I sat there watching these two smooth, confident professionals handle that room and that crowd so easily. I laughed and enjoyed that show so much. And then I thought, what an amazing talent and skill set that is to witness. What a great time we're having in this audience. How are they able to do that? I know, it sounds so dumb that I would think that, but we are all dumb from time to time. Then I thought, I want to do that. I want to be like them. And then, wait a minute, that's what I used to be. I used to know how to do everything they're doing. I still want to be that. This has happened to me over and over again in my life. You get so used to doing what you do, you don't see what it is anymore. I still see stand-up comedians and think, how in the world can they do that? Getting out of your head is one of the most important places to visit. I do not get upset with myself when I am dumb, because the essential building blocks of comedy very often are an elegant intertwining of really dumb and really smart. You need both to make comedy. To pick a random example, the bit about my daughter leaving home for college is like having a baby alligator in your bathtub for too long and then realizing, you know, I think we got to get this thing the hell out of here. Making the analogy is the smart part, but you also need the dumbness of a person leaving an alligator in their bathtub for an extended period of time to make the joke work. It's actually a big part of what you're laughing at, a moron with an alligator that doesn't realize what's going on. Anyway, I go to the Chris Rock show. I realize I want to get my skill set back. I want to be a stand-up comedian again. One problem, I got no act. A few months after the series ends, I did a stand-up special for HBO that I owed them for a few years. I decided to call it I'm Telling You for the Last Time, and I would retire my whole set that I had spent years working on. Smart, right? And dumb. So there I was, quite a popular fellow at the time. Audiences would definitely buy tickets to see, but nothing to say when I get on stage. Back again to me and Chris Rock. We're having dinner at an Italian restaurant in Manhattan. I explain my situation. Chris says, well, at least you know there's only one way to do it. It did feel great to be reminded of that. I didn't have to waste 1 second of time wondering how to approach the problem. I don't use writers, so it's back to tiny clubs with flimsy stuff, night after night, month after month, and it takes however long it takes. When you see a comedian with a ton of great stuff, what you're really marveling at, or should be, is how could someone crawl on their belly that great a distance? So here's my belly crawl of these 10 years.
Doing nothing.
A lot of people ask me, hey, Jerry, so what do you do now? You don't have a show anymore. What do? I'll tell you what I do. Nothing. And I know what you're thinking. Hey, that sounds pretty good. I might like to do nothing myself. But doing nothing is not as easy as it looks. You can get pretty busy doing nothing. Because when you're doing nothing, you're really free to do anything, which can easily lead to doing something, which cuts into my nothing and forces me to have to drop everything.
Weddings.
I've been best man twice at weddings. Always thought it was a bit much. Seems like it should be a groom and a pretty good man. Really tries. I mean, if I'm the best man, why is she marrying him? But I do stand before you tonight as a very happily married man, so I can recommend being married to you. I cannot, however, recommend getting married because of the wedding. The bride, of course, is the engine that drives the wedding. The bride is into it. The bride reads Bride Magazine, which is the thickest, heaviest, most frightening magazine on the planet. It lands hard on the coffee table. Bang! What was that? That was Bride Magazine. Bride Magazine causes the bride to get bride brain. The bridal brain is a world of infinite possibilities. Ideas like, honey, I think I'm going to need 20 more feet of dress that just drags off the end of my dress. Because I'm the goddamn bride, that's why. I dragged him to the altar, I may as well drag this too. Bride pride is real, and bride pride is justified. A woman absolutely deserves wide public recognition that I got one of these clowns to act right. Mind you, a bride is a very keyed up individual. You never want to surprise a bride. You never want to make a sudden change in the bridal environment, because a bride can snap like that. And they always do. And that's really the best part of the wedding, when the bride goes berserk and rips some hapless wedding worker a new one because somebody screwed up on the Castle of Shrimp. Where is the cocktail sauce in the moat surrounding the castle? Where are the lobster claws guarding the gate? Do you know how embarrassing this is for me? I am mortified. Let go of me. No, I will not lower my voice, because this is my special day. That's why. And you tell that band leader I want Color My World and Wind Beneath My Wings, or I will shove that mic stand so far up as... Oh, we're taking more pictures. Yes, of course. Come, children, carry my dragging ego. We're going down to the simulated duck pond to further document my beauty. Because there must be a wedding album after the wedding, the purpose of which is to equal the weight and intense boredom of the bride magazine that started the whole thing. I had to wear a tuxedo, which I am convinced was invented by a woman. Well, they're all the same. We might as well dress them all the same. To me, a wedding is the joining together of a beautiful glowing bride and some guy. The tuxedo also functions as a wedding safety device for the bride. In case the groom chickens out, everybody just takes one step over and the ceremony continues. That's why they don't say, "Do you take Bob Johnson to be your lawfully wedded husband?" They say, "Do you take this man?" Whoever's standing there. The tuxedo is also the universal male symbol for somebody trying to pull a fast one. Think of where you see the tuxedo. The groom wears it to project an image of sophisticated refinement. He is hoping nobody at the wedding will notice. The head popping out the top of the suit belongs to the same degenerate, ill-mannered ignoramus everyone there has known for years. It doesn't work. He knew it wouldn't. And that's why it's just rented. The tuxedo is the world's most rented clothing, needed only for quick scams and flim-flams, award shows, casinos, limos, proms, and strip clubs. I just need to fool a small group of people for a short period of time. I'll bring it right back. Even a Halloween costume is purchased outright and kept with pride. A 10-year-old child makes a stronger commitment to being a skeleton than a grown man to being a dignified, mature adult. And I'm sure there are couples here tonight planning some kind of huge blowout wedding. Do not applaud, do not cheer, do not go woo. Do not acknowledge me in any way. Just sit quietly in the dark. Because there is something about this wedding I need to tell you. Something your family will not tell you. Your friends will not tell you. Only I, your strange little TV friend, I might be the only person you know that can tell you the complete, straight-up, honest truth, which is this. Nobody wants to go to your wedding. We're not looking forward to it. We are not excited like you are. Most of us are getting these invitations and throwing it on the ground. Oh, Jesus Christ. It's on a Saturday. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. I don't want you to think we're not happy for you, because we are. We all think it's great. You two have met. You want to be together. You want to go off and do whatever you want to do in life. Just do it. Why is it necessary to ruin the day of 150 other people who are not actually part of this? Can't you leave us alone? They cannot. They will not leave us alone. Couples are always agonizing over these guest lists. Oh, we have to invite them. They would be so upset. No, they won't. They'll be clicking their heels because it's a bad party, bad music, bad food. Everyone here has been to a good party. You know what a good party is like. If you were going to plan a good party, would you first invite all the oldest people you know so you can sit there watching them eat in that disgusting way that they do? Why do old people eat so badly? They have the most experience at it. What age is it when you can no longer feel that you have a piece of food on your face? Do these nerve endings just die out at 75? You're trying to have a conversation, you can't do it. Don't you feel that right there? You got a piece of rice just hanging from your lip. It's a very distinct pinpoint sensation. Why do you not perceive it? They breathe out, it swings out. They inhale, it swings back. I don't need to see people dance that have not otherwise moved in the past 5 years, going into these hazy, Soul Train memory convulsion flashbacks. I guess I'll just fire off some major muscle groups in a random order. I can't remember what I used to do. The best part of the wedding from the male perspective is it's the only possible situation where you're essentially gathering this woman's entire family together and announcing to them, I am now going to have sex with your daughter. We're going to go to a hotel somewhere right after this, and I'm going to do everything I can think of. And everyone applauds. Her father vigorously shaking your hand. Well done, young man. Then, about halfway through the reception, the bride and the groom themselves actually realize how bad it is and just leave in the middle. They come downstairs, they've changed, they've packed. Well, this sucks, we'll see you later. We're going to Barbados to have sex, you enjoy the dry cake and our relatives. And they leave you sitting there. That's why everybody follows them out the door. Give me a handful of that rice. And the old people go, here's mine too.
Divorce.
And I'm sure there's women here going, I know you think you're very funny, Jerry, but marriage is a pretty big change in a person's life, and it's important that everyone is there. Well, divorce is a big change. How come I don't have to go to that? And I would go to that. At least I'm at a party for something that's going to last. It's rare that you hear about a divorce that didn't work out. Yeah, it turned out that Jim's asshole qualities and Sue's bitchiness were just temporary. They were delightful, lovely people that should never have gotten divorced in the first place.
Live together.
I was never much for the live-with relationship approach. Let's see. There's nothing to see. You're going to see what you've been seeing. Besides, living with a woman who wants to get married, that's like living with a murderer in the house. Can't relax, can't sleep, keep waking up in the middle of the night. I think I heard something downstairs. What was it? I don't know, sounded like a caterer setting up.
Commitment, rejection.
One of the nice things about getting married, besides making the commitment to the person you want to be with, is the rejection of a lot of other people that you don't want to be with. That means a lot to me, too. Marriage is a sacred bond, yes, but also a nice way to tell a lot of people to get lost. I feel it should be part of the ceremony. Do you take this woman as opposed to some of these other losers I see sitting here? You can really get sick of yourself when you're single, and I was single for a long time. You get so tired of hearing yourself say the same things over and over again. Would you like to come up to my apartment for a glass of wine? Oh, shut the hell up already. Nobody wants any more wine from you. Stop offering people wine. Haven't you served people enough wine?
Marriage chess.
It's all about listening. A lot of wives complain that their husbands do not listen. I've never heard my wife say this. She may have. I don't know. But here's what I do know. Ladies, your husband wants to make you happy. He's working on it. He's planning it. And he's thinking about it every second. But he cannot do it. Sometimes we do it. We don't know how we did it. We can't ask, what did I do? That looks like you don't know what you're doing. Can't do nothing. Woman says, I can't believe you're doing this. Man says, doing what? Woman starts crying. Man says, I didn't do anything. Woman says, exactly. So it's a bit of a chess game. Except the board is flowing water, and all the chess pieces are made of smoke. You can make all the moves you want. It will not affect the outcome of the game.
Married, single.
The other problem I have being married is I can no longer pretend to be interested in the dating problems of my single friends. You called some girl, she didn't call you back. I don't care. Can't seem to meet the right person, change your entire personality. When I was single, I had married friends. I would not visit their homes. I found their lives to be pathetic and depressing. Now that I'm married, I have no single friends. I find their lives to be meaningless and trivial experiences. In both cases, I believe I was correct. Whichever side of marriage you're on, you don't get what the other people are doing. I can't hang out with single guys. If you don't have a wife, we have nothing to talk about. You have a girlfriend? That's wiffle ball, my friend. You're playing paintball war. I'm in Afghanistan with real loaded weapons. Married guys play with full clips and live rounds. This is not a drill. Single guys sitting on a merry-go-round blowing on a pinwheel. I'm driving a truck full of nitro down a dirt road. You single guys here tonight looking at me, hey Jerry, what if I want to be a married guy like you? What do I got to have if I want to be a married guy? I'll tell you what you got to have. You better have some answers, buddy. You better have some answers for that woman. Women have a lot of questions. Their brains are strong, active, and on high alert at all times. You're sleeping, she's researching. The female brain is cooking all the time. The female brain is one of the most competent and capable organs in all of the biological universe. Girl power. There is nothing the female brain cannot do. It will solve all problems of earth and life. Having done that, it will move on to the hypothetical, theoretical situations that may or may not occur. The female needs to know how you might respond. If you faked your own death and I found out about it, what would you say then? What are we talking about now? Oh, I dreamt the whole thing last night, so don't deny it. Being married is like being on a game show and you're always in the lightning round. I have a game show podium set up in my living room. I wake up in the morning, stand behind the podium, try and answer all my wife's questions, and get on with the goddamn day. I got a little hand button clicker. I'll take movies I think we saw together for $200. My wife, of course, is the returning champion from last week. I'll take details of a 10-minute conversation we had at 3 o'clock in the morning 8 years ago. And I'd like to bet everything I have on that, Alex. I'm going for the win right here. The husband, of course, doesn't have a clue. I'm sorry, sir, you did not win the weekend sex package or the guilt-free televised sporting event. Thank you for playing. Are you even listening to me? And don't forget to take that big bag of garbage with you on your way out of the studio.
A wife is an extra head.
A wife is not a relationship. A wife is an extra head mounted next to your head. I also have kid heads. I have a dog head. I have a parakeet head. And whenever I want to go somewhere, all these heads start talking to each other. I want to go here. I want to go there. Where do you think you're going? Woof, woof, tweet, tweet.
Tone.
One of the things I did not know when I was single that I found out after I got married is that every single day of my married life, I would be discussing the tone in my voice. I was not aware how often I speak in the incorrect tone. I thought it was a marriage. Apparently, it's a musical. I walk around the house now at one of those round black glee club things. How about that one? Am I getting closer? It's your tone. My what? Your tone. My tone. Yes, your tone. What's wrong with my tone? I don't like your tone. What do you want me to do? You better change your tone. Figure out what tone you're in and get into another tone. And women are correct, as they always are. The male tone does change over the course of the relationship. In the beginning, as the male pursues the female, we raise our voice 2 full octaves. We talk like this. Because Chinese food or Italian sounds great. Maybe we could take a drive or go for a walk. My actual speaking voice that I am using right now to communicate with you is not welcome in my house. That's why I'm out here talking to you. If I walked into my own house, which I paid for, by the way, not relevant, just wanted to mention it, and I was to say, I have got to get something to eat, if I said it like that, first of all, any guy I know would say, eat whatever you want. I don't care what you eat. Any woman will say, why are you yelling at me? I'm not yelling. I'm just hungry. And then the fight breaks out. And when the fight breaks out, now you're whitewater kayaking. You got a plastic helmet on. You're going down. You're popping up. You're catching foam. Just keep paddling. It will eventually calm down. And this is when the woman's tone of voice changes. Yes, the women are included in this too. All women, when they get in the fight with the man, must at some point in the argument imitate the voice of the man. And women, in that beautifully organized way that they have, have somehow all arranged to do the exact same impression.
Oh, you say. Oh, I never said I would definitely go. You say I might go. Not definitely. You say you're not comfortable with my friends. When we go with your friends, you say, oh, my friends, not like your friends. Your friends. Oh, I don't think so.
Who the hell is this guy? I have never heard anyone talk like this.
You should hear how you sound. If you could hear yourself.
I hear myself. My mouth is here, my ear is here, I can hear it perfectly.
Relationship underwear.
Men want the same thing from our underwear that we want from the women in our lives. A certain amount of support and a certain amount of freedom. I want the loose attitude and cool breezes of boxer short living. But I also need a woman that's got some tight cotton and strong elastic like a brief. So I know I've got a real home where I feel centered, knowing which way I'm pointed in this world.
Blind sight.
I think the blind man gets the best women, because in choosing a woman, sight is the ultimate handicap. The fashions, the makeup, the hair color, the streaks, the highlights, the sparkles. A sighted man can't see straight. Blind man sees through all of it. You better make some sense when you're talking to a blind man, or else he's like, honey, you could be wearing the hottest outfit in the world, but these things you're saying, you're useless. Blindness is the handicap to have in dating. Deafness, I think, would definitely come in handy later when you're married. Then when the kids come along, paralyzed. I would love to go to your soccer game. I have to sit here and watch football on TV. Blindness improves every phase of the relationship. He doesn't have to deal with his woman saying things like, are you even listening to me? Of course I'm listening. What the hell else you think I'm doing? I swear sometimes when I talk, it's like you're just staring off into space. Well, I'm not.
Lip liner.
The things people do to make themselves more attractive, like the women that do the lip liner like it's a dead body at a crime scene. I would like to say to all women on behalf of the men of planet Earth, we see your lips. You want to highlight with a little color? Fine. You don't need to put a ground marker. We're not parachuting in. It's out of bounds lipstick. You can't go outside the lines, ladies. We've got to have some kind of rules. Stay within the lines. Do not draw in features wherever you wish you had them on your face. This is not Toontown. We're human beings.
No important calls.
I just don't know why people always panic when their cell phone rings. They always seem to think it's an important call. Oh my God, is that my phone? Is that your phone? Whose phone is that? Is that my ring? Is that Funky Town? Gotta make a move to a town that's right for me. That is my phone. Such urgency. When are we all going to realize there's no important calls? Here's how you know it's not important. The call is coming from someone you know. And they're calling you. Do you know any important people? I don't. I know a lot of people that think they're important. Don't want to talk to them. What two things do you say after every telephone call of your life? Who was that? Nobody. What'd they want? Nothing.
Star 69.
We live in a new phone world now. Nothing innocent about a telephone anymore. We live in a Star 69 caller ID block kind of world. Who's calling me, trying to get to me without me knowing that it's them? I should be calling them without them knowing that it's me. That would give me an advantage over them. That's a lot of suspicion. Remember when the phone would ring and somebody in your house would go, I'll get it. You don't hear that anymore. Now the phone rings. Nobody move. Who the hell is 513? It better not be who I think it is. Star 69 was the first phone feature they came out with that I thought was a little hostile to the calling party. Someone calls to hang up, you hit that Star 69. Nice try, creep. Oh, I know all about your little call. And 69, that's the number they picked for this thing? So that means there isn't one person at the phone company that went to junior high school. How did that slip through an entire organization? If you worked at the phone company and you heard they were doing this, wouldn't you walk in that meeting and go, Star 69? Are you guys kidding me? That's the number you guys came up with for the new feature? What the hell is going on in here? We're the phone company. We can pick any number we want. 68, 70. I can't wait to hear what you got for three-way calling.
BlackBerry relationships.
My wife is on the BlackBerry now. These people have totally left the conscious world. They walk around with it in their hand because that is what BlackBerry commands them to do, and they're always comparing you to what's on the BlackBerry. Uh-huh, which is really more interesting here. Is there anything worse than when they do that slow head drop and they just leave you? What am I supposed to do, just look for planes now? Do we even know what rudeness is anymore? What if I held a magazine up in front of your face and just read it while you're talking? Is that impolite in any way? My wife's BlackBerry keeps advancing on me. It started in the car, then she brought it in the house. The other night I found it in the bed. It was on the other pillow, just blinking at me like, you're not part of what she and I have. I tried to smother it with another pillow, but it doesn't use oxygen. A couple days later, my wife found it in the bottom of a bowl of yogurt. Oh, it said BlackBerry. I guess I got confused.
Links.
I need to meet some new people, different people. People that are not like the people I know now. I don't care if they're smart or funny or interesting or nice, as long as they just don't send links and emails. That's the kind of people I feel very drawn to right now. Did you get the link? I sent you a link. Did you see the link? Yeah, I got the link. Your link is not my only link. I got a lot of links. Get in the link line. I will get to your link. 3 days later, I tried to open it. The link wouldn't open. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to resend the link. No, no, do not. Do not resend. I didn't want it the first time. It's 8 messages back and forth to see a video of a fat guy tripping over a cat. Did you see it? What'd you think? I just sent you a link to a video of me blowing my brains out of. This is what life is now. Open that. That's the last link.
Facebook.
Of course, Facebook, another great trash receptacle of human time, which everyone loves, because not only does the name Facebook complete the final whoring out of the word book, I'm sure looking at pictures of Timmy and Tammy drunk in Cabo is the same as reading Moby Dick, but also because it expresses the outlook of young, dumb people, which is so beautiful, that people are great, and it's great to connect with people. I'm hoping that I live long enough to see these young people in their 50s, because when you blow out the candles on that 50th birthday cake, your first thought is going to be, the fewer people I have anything to do with, the better off I'm going to be. Connecting with people is why there's lawyers, mace, and cease and desist orders, because of two people that connected with each other.
Twitter.
And of course, Twitter. Tweeting, of course, was originally invented by birds and trees. That was the first tweet. It meant, sex, worms, sex, worms. Hashtag, rocks my world. As humans, we were so impressed with this form of communication, we decided, why should birds be the only ones dropping an annoying series of small daily turds upon the earth? We can do it too.
Preferency people.
I do not like to have coffee with the preferency people, who have very strong preferences about what they prefer, like whichever artificial sweetener. I like the blue, I need the pink. Excuse me, do you have the yellow? Because it's such a huge difference between powdered aluminum sweetened cancer and great-grandchildren birth defect potassium palmitate. One's got an aftertaste. I love that meltdown. Oh my God, there was a taste, and then there was another taste that came after that taste. Then 20 minutes later in the car, I burped, and there was a third taste.
Repeat story.
I guess it's all the tech stuff, but don't people seem a little hazy now all the time, a little fuzzy? They start talking, then they go, was I talking to you about this? Were you there with me? Did I know you then? Is this your story that you originally told to me? So we did talk, I wasn't there, you were, I didn't know, we hadn't met, and I thought I was you. Let's talk again soon. But a lot of times people will launch into a story you've already heard, and you go, well, I guess I'm going on this ride again. Now you're in your own little one-act play trying to recreate all the same responses you had the first time. Intrigue, surprise, sad, outrage, supportive. And now you're terrified they're going to catch you. Wait, I did tell you this. Why didn't you stop me? Because I'm focusing on my performance. The two of you end up just staring at each other, realizing one's a liar, the other's a bore, the whole relationship's a fraud.
Blowing smoke.
Whenever someone gives you a compliment now for some reason, they have to follow it with, and I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass. Why are we even in that area? So you feel good for 5 seconds, and then you have this image of asses and smoke going up. Who did this even happen to that we started saying it? That was a lovely gesture that young man made. I certainly wasn't expecting him to do that. I remember a time when people used to kiss ass. They used to kiss up, kiss ass. They used to say, he's a real ass kisser. I guess the kissing's not getting it done anymore. You better blow some smoke up there, buddy. Similarly, whenever someone has a great quantity of a certain item, you will often hear them say, well, I have those coming out of my ass. Really? Yes. I've got them up the wazoo. So you keep them in your ass. But now you have so many, they're just coming out on their own. That's right. Now, obviously, we don't actually have these items in our asses. We just want to make sure we mention our ass in every conversation. And why not? There's no skin off my ass. In fact, why don't you shove it up your ass? As long as I've got them coming out of my ass. And maybe if you got off your ass, you wouldn't need to be riding my ass. Some people don't know how to work it in the conversation, so they just go, my ass.
Non-statements.
What about the people you're here with tonight? You have to get rid of them at some point. How are you going to do it? You got to wrap it up somehow, right? I hate that extra 3.5 minutes at the end where people just tack on all these statements that have been formulated to be things no one can disagree with, like, well, you never know. Time will tell. We'll see what happens, that's for sure. Yeah, I think we all know that. We all know the future is not here yet. A baby that's 5 minutes old understands this. He's born, he looks around, he thinks, well, hopefully my neck will firm up, my balls will drop down, I'll take it from there. I'll see what happens. People that have nothing to contribute to the conversation pipe up about that. Not to the best of my knowledge. What does that mean? You don't know? I didn't say that. I said I have knowledge, and it's all not about this. I like when people go, what was I saying? What was I saying? Oh, so even you're not paying attention to this, and I'm supposed to be taking notes. My favorite non-statement is, I want to say, what time is that plane coming in? I want to say 9 o'clock. You want to say? Well, congratulations, I think you said it. What's the name of the guy we're supposed to pick up? I want to say Carl. So we have no chance of finding this person. Not to the best of my knowledge, no. Well, you never know, time will tell. We'll see what happens.
Coffee says.
Here's the mathematical equation of coffee. You're a little depressed, not in great shape, didn't get a good night's sleep. Coffee says, I have been training my entire life for this exact moment. When you are in trouble, coffee is there. What else can you turn to? Lemonade? Tea? I hate tea. Hate it. It acts like it can do something. Hot, same cup. Can't do a goddamn thing. See-through tinted water, lemon slices and string. You have to try and grab that wet little gross bag as it's swinging around. Get out of my face. We need coffee. You ever hear anybody say, I need some tea? No, nobody needs it. Need coffee. Coffee's made from dirt, grounds. You can feel the anger when it's inside the coffee machine, bubbling and hissing in there like a little volcano. You look inside, things are spitting out everywhere. You take one sip and the coffee's just, that's it. I'm running this outfit now. I want constant talking, endless peeing, large intestine. I want all of that out of here right now. I said, move it. Move your bowels. Shut your mouth. Drop your pants. Things are going to be different from now on. You think I fought my way out of an African jungle stowed away on the bottom of a rusted out trawler in a burlap bag to sit in a recycled paper cup with a spoon up my ass? You know what the tattoo on my arm says? It says, not tea.
Coffee break.
The original idea of coffee was a 10-minute break in the middle of 8 hours of work. We're now drinking 8 hours of coffee doing 10 minutes of work, and I think we're more proud of the coffee. People walk down the street with these cups like they've won an award. Excuse me, I believe I have the right of way here. I've got a gigantic coffee.
Alcoholic coffee drinks.
Alcoholic coffee is a popular type drink. How rare is that set of circumstances, where you need to be whatever the opposite of tired and sober is? I am getting trashed and alert tonight, I'll tell you that. I know my car was all over the road, officer. I saw every second of it. I know I'll be filling out papers at the police station all night. Bring it on. I'm sharp as a tack. I am smashed and focused. I've never felt better or worse in my life. Or the Red Bulls and vodka. I'm going to have a bunch of these and then just split like an amoeba into two completely different people. A hyperactive drunk and a slurred speech bipolar manic depressive. You can talk to either one you want. They're both standing right in front of you.
5-hour energy drink.
5-hour energy drink. You ever see that little bottle by the cash register? 5 hours. 5 hours is a weird amount of time. Who's working 1 to 6? What does that even feel like, to suddenly be in deficit of 5 hours of energy?
I need 5 hours of energy right now.
If you need 5 hours of energy, go to bed. Your day is over. Pack it in. Wake up, take another run at it tomorrow. Calm down, dude. You got more than one day. I need 5 hours of energy, but I can't drink anything larger than this. Do you have a drink in this store that big with 5 hours of energy in it? I can't drink anything larger. I don't have the energy. The workday is 8 hours. You have an hour for lunch, you're down to 7. According to this company, I only need 2 hours of natural human energy and one of their Meth Lab Hawaiian Punch Jello shots. And I am good to go.
Cold beer.
I like how the coldness thing drives the beer people crazy. The commercials are always frost brewed, cold filtered, ice bottled. We pack it in a glacier, then put it on a frozen truck driven by a polar bear. We're not transplanting a kidney. You're just trying to get drunk. Relax. It's going to work.
Orange juice.
Orange juice is never like fresh squeezed enough. I saw on the side of a carton of Tropicana, now even more like fresh squeezed. Used to be like fresh squeezed, then more like fresh squeezed. Now even more. Just squeeze it already. You want it, we want it, the oranges are helpless, squeeze them up. Squeeze their little round orange asses and give it to us. And squeeze the milk out of those almonds too.
Almond milk.
Who got that assignment? Who had a can of almonds slammed on their desk? And find a way to get some milk out of these goddamn things. Nobody wants nuts. They want milk. How did they even find a stool small enough to slide under the almonds to milk it? You know how hard it must be to manipulate the teats of an almond? And rice milk, even harder, even less room under there.
Pizza Hut.
Everyone's trying to lose a little weight. Not one person has ever lost 1 ounce, ever. Do you think one possible explanation might be that we're still trying to figure out ways to stuff more cheese into a piece of pizza? So far, we've hollowed out the crust and injection molded that. That was like 3 years ago. Now they're double layering the foundation with another layer of cheese beneath the main layer. So now we have a wall of cheese surrounding the pool of cheese. The whole goddamn thing was cheese to begin with. Pizza Hut has a new thing coming out. They will actually bake your head right into a block of cheese. There's no pizza. It's just cheese coming in every orifice of your skull. Maybe that'll be enough cheese for us.
Raisin Bran.
I see the Raisin Bran people are still caught up in their own personal madness, still convinced that we're not happy yet with the number of raisins in their product. Every time I go in the supermarket, there's a new announcement on the front of the box. More scoops, bigger scoops, deeper scoops, longer scoops, all raisins, one flake. Come on! And no one cares. No one cares about the number of raisins in the goddamn Raisin Bran. If you're eating Raisin Bran, you've given up on life anyway. You hate yourself and everyone else. 99% of all Raisin Bran is eaten by people who have slept over at somebody else's house, and that's all they had. No one's intentionally eating this stuff. You got any cereal? We got Raisin Bran. All right, just give me the Raisin Bran.
Haeger Slacks.
I saw an ad for Haeger Slacks. They're making pants now where there's a thing in front of the pants that you pull and the waistband pops open an extra couple of inches in the middle of your meal. That is where we are at now, my friends. We can't wait till tomorrow to put on bigger pants. I need a ripcord right now. Blam! Let me see the dessert menu. I'm going for it.
Cookies.
Different foods affect you at different times of day. Cookies wait for night. I've never seen a cookie in the morning. I don't know where they are. Cookies know in the morning you are strong, they are weak. At night, you are weak, they are strong. That's why most cookies are round, because this is a face-to-face confrontation. You can almost feel their little chocolate chip eyes on you. Something happens between 9 and 11:30. You're talking to someone, their face turns into a cookie. You look away, the clock is a cookie, the moon is a cookie. Cookie companies make cookies seem very innocent. It's just elves living in trees. They make them as a hobby. They always put happy clowns and balloons on the box. The truth is, cookies should have names like chocolate sons of bitches. That's what our real relationship is. Those little vanilla bastards got me again last night. I told you to stop buying those go-to-hell wafers with the screw-you cream inside. I didn't stand a chance. It's a war. That's why cookies live like military, inside boxes in those preformed army barracks housing. You slide it out, it's like a D-Day beach landing troop carrier. All the cookies are lined up, waiting to go into combat. But I prefer the box of cookies over the bag of cookies, where they're all just climbing all over each other, just complete anarchy and chaos. You get to the end of a row of cookies, I don't care how crazy you are, you stop for a second and go, what the hell am I doing here? I was going to have a couple, I just mowed down a whole row. And now I'm thinking about going over the wall. You jump that wall, you're just a convict running through a cornfield now. You go back in your kitchen the next morning, it's like an intersection where there was a car accident. Broken glass, cookie crumbs, chocolate skid marks on the napkin. The milk carton's flat, totaled in the bottom of the trash. Boy, I was lucky to walk away from those cookies. Good thing I had my Hager safety pop-open slacks.
Gym.
I was supposed to go to the gym today. I did not go. That's okay. I know most of you didn't go either. It is not hard to not go to the gym. I think we can say it is probably the easiest thing in the world to not do. What do you have to do to not go to the gym? Nothing. Just let a little time go by and go, oh, well, I can't go now. I was going to go. That's what I was doing. But the time. No time. It's now not possible for me to go. I have thought I should join a gym that's closer so I could go more often. But I wouldn't. I would just wait longer to be able to not go to that one. I like when people say, I want to start going to the gym. So why don't you go? I don't know. I just don't want to go. But you want to go. Oh, yes, I definitely want to go. Have you ever gone? No, not one time, ever. But I want to. So I think what you're saying is, what you want is to want to go. Yes, I want to go. So go. I don't want to.
The chair.
You have an ass. What do you think that is? It's a portable cushion seating area that we bring with us at all times. The ass proves we are slowly evolving into chairs. We needed to be comfortable. And we needed something we could not forget. Now, what did I do with my ass? Oh, I have my ass. Never mind. I have it. I found it. I had my ass with me the whole time. That is the brilliance of the ass. Can't get lost. Even if somebody says, get your ass out of here. You can't do it. You have to leave with it.
The strip.
But that needing news feeling never leaves you. That something's going on. What is going on? Even though you check every 11 seconds on the phone, I want to hear the anchor person talk. I like to hear talking. Even though I have to read the strip on the bottom at the same time, which you cannot do. If I'm listening to the guy, I miss what it says on the strip. If I'm reading the strip, I miss what the guy says. What did he say? What did that say? What did that say? What did she say? Which is the news? The guy or the strip? Which just happened? Why can't the guy just tell me what it says on the strip? Don't these idiots that do the news understand? We don't want to read. That's why we're watching TV.
Earpiece.
Everybody on the news has that little earpiece. I notice it's got that expandable spiral phone cord that goes down their neck. But why would it need to expand? How far is this guy's head going from the top of his shirt that he needs that much expanding wire? Is he a newsman or a kitchen phone?
The crisis.
They always feel they should go to somebody that's closer physically to whatever it is. Maybe they know something. So they go to that person. Well, Jim, there's nothing happening here yet. There's no one here, I have no information, and I can't see a goddamn thing. I don't even know if this is where I'm supposed to be. Back to you in the studio. They go back to the studio where they've already come up with a logo for the crisis. We need a font. The logo always looks a little bit like the crisis. If there's a guy that's under fire, you see the guy and you see the fire. The worst crisis is when the letters in the word crisis start to crack and break apart. There's pieces missing from the C and the R and the I. That's a bad crisis. The word crisis is in crisis from the crisis. And that's when it's time to take an instant poll on the internet. Let's get the perspective of a group of people even dumber than we are, the general public.
No news.
I live in the fantasy watching news that there still is news. But what don't we know? Nothing. There's nothing we don't know. Everybody's on everything every second. They even start the news saying, well, I'm sure you've all seen this by now. The word news means new. So if it's not new, there's no news. They used to say no news is good news. But now all news is no news, which is bad news for news, I think. Which you maybe already knew. But to me, that's big news. If what we all thought of as news is now no news, huge news. I mean, come on, the end of news is the biggest thing that ever happened. That's your lead story.
Old news.
The worst news is definitely anything thought of as old news. History is fine, but if it's in the past and not yet history, don't ever talk about that. People go, oh my God, that was like a week ago. What's wrong with you?
Break in.
I need breaking. We want breaking. Break in. They always say, I'm sorry to break in, which they're not. They love it. They feel important, and they get to screw up the person they work with and secretly hate. But we have a breaking story. It just broke. We're going to go to a break. Then after the break, we're going to break it down. We're going to go straight through without a break unless something else breaks. Then we'll have to break away, break that, which will be followed by another break because we're about to go broke.
Weather girls.
And what's with all the heated up, sexed out super vixen weather girls wearing insane cocktail outfits on local TV at 9:30 in the morning? Everyone else on the news looks normal. They go to the weather. It's like a private Vegas sex club with masks and whips and thigh-high boots. She's spanking the traffic guy with a riding crop. The Doppler's brought to you by crotchless underwear. Turn down the heat. Got 100 million men in this country trying to be extremely respectful while adjusting to new guidelines just handed down in a very fluid situation. You can help out a little. Shoulder your weapons before noon. Is that fair?
Sports watch.
I love to watch sports. One of the things I enjoy most about sports is not the game, but hearing all the things I already know about the game repeated back to me over and over again after the game. I gotta watch the post-game show, the highlights, the analysis, the call-in show. Do I not really believe that I saw the game? You should see me tearing the paper apart every morning to get to the sports section, just so I can go, aha, I knew what I saw is what happened when I was watching it. What is this urge to keep finding out information I already have? It's like when I drive by a mirrored office building, I always look in the reflection to see if I'm in the car. What would I do if I looked and there was a small Korean woman driving my car? If I look at my watch and then 1 second later someone asks me what time it is,